Tired as a Mother, Uncensored, with your host, Roxy.
And Tiffany Marie.
And this week, we have a very special guest we were supposed to have at the beginning of February, but of course, time schedules clash. Annie from 95.5 PLJ.
Woo! Hi, ladies. Thanks for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
So, look, the special thing about Annie, she is a new mother, and she's juggling being on the morning show. So, how early do you get up in the morning?
My alarm goes off at 3:15, and I finally get up at 3:30.
Right. I've done the pregnant morning show thing before. It's very tough getting up at 2 a.m. to be at the station by 3 or 4. So I totally sympathize with you. But what we're here to talk about is everything that you've actually been chronicling your entire experience on your social media, your Instagram, your Facebook. We want to talk about that and everything you've gone through up until this very point.
You know, I think at first I was a little hesitant about sharing because I've seen so many situations of loss or things happening. And I was like, oh, do I really want to put this out here, not knowing the future? And then as I started to, the support system you get on social media is amazing. The women that support you give you advice. I mean, some advice is a little over the top. You're a little scared.
But right.
It's been a really nice community of people and support. And I got to tell you, the hardest thing of this whole journey is when you wait till you're older to have kids. It's a big transition because you're going from being super independent for 35 years to my life's about to change.
Exactly. No, I totally feel you there. And you know, there's this popular thing now about women are waiting till they're older to have babies. It used to be my mom had me at 25 and I think that's super young. And now we're waiting till 35, 36, some 40. And that's high risk pregnancy right there. I mean, we could get into that's a whole nother subject, but I had mine at 33, Braxton, and you're right. The freedom and independence that you give up once that comes, your entire life changes in a New York minute. And people don't realize that. How old did you have
I had Peyton at 28, mm-hmm. And then it was 28. He was born 4th of July, and then I turned 29 in September. Then I had Callie at 29, so I had both of my kids before 30, and I honestly wish I had them younger.
Wow.
I do. I wish I had them the way my mother had us at 25, 26. I know you said that was young. I kind of wish I would have had them younger.
Well, that's the blessing with Tired as a Mother Uncensored. We have difference of opinions all the time, and that's why me and Tiffany came together to do this podcast. And even more exciting is to relive the experience through Annie because, you know, now we're like, oh, are you getting, we're asking her questions before she came into the studio. Are you eating off of your stomach? Are you, you know, just tell us about the entire experience of you, you know, getting the baby name suggestions, your baby shower, your maternity shoot, you know, the anxiety of knowing whether it's a girl or a boy. Do you even know the sex?
No, we're not going to find out the sex. That's going to be a surprise. Although my husband's convinced that during an ultrasound, they said he by accident. I'm like, I think you're just hearing things. He actually wants a girl really bad.
Wow.
Which most guys don't say that, but he coaches men's basketball at Pace University. He teaches boys. He's like, I'm tired of being around guys. I wanted a little girl. And I was like, oh, you just want that girl to look at you like you're their everything. So no, we haven't found that out yet. We've been keeping in touch with Columbia Presbyterian is where I'm going to go because they were really great with my nephew.
Right.
He was in the NICU there for 2 months. And after the care he got, I said, hands down, this is where I got to go. I think for both of us, like I said, waiting so long, I had my radio contract coming up. Before, and when I found out I was pregnant, I didn't want to say anything because it was like one of the most stressful times being in radio. You have to really advocate for yourself and fight for more money or fight for more, and it's hard to do when you're about to say, hey, and by the way, I'm going to be out on maternity leave. So it was a very stressful first trimester, I have to say. I wouldn't want to go back through that again. But then once that was all out there, I embraced it, and now it's been just the kicking is crazy. I can't get over that. That is like so bizarre that there's a human there.
Right.
And I think right now at this point, the only thing I'm really kind of just getting scared of is the birthing part. Like I come to Tiffany's office all the time. I'm like, is it going to hurt? When am I going to know? My water breaks. Is it right away? How do I get there? Do I take the subway? Do I hop in a cab? Do I grab an Uber?
The subway. Please don't hop on the one to go all the way to Columbia Presbyterian.
Don't waste your money on an ambulance because that's what, $800? You're going to have to pay $100 for that? You better call yourself an Uber. And plus, it's not going to come right out, so don't worry about it. And what I didn't know, even though my water never broke for both kids. So with Peyton, they had to pop my water. And then for the second one for Callie, she was coming out in the sack still.
Wow.
And then it popped. But what I did find out from people that their waters did break, your water doesn't just break that once. It continues to break.
Oh.
Or it continues still to leak.
Mine did not break at all either. And my son came late. So he was supposed to be June 18th, came June 22nd. I was the frustrated mom. I just wanted him out. So I said, what are the options? And the doctor was like, well, there is a C-section. Most women don't want to do that. And I was like, I'm not most women. Let's schedule this shit for, you know, he was supposed to come Saturday night. It's going on Wednesday morning. Could we speed this up?
See,
and
I
he
never
looked at
C-section.
Me crazy. And I was like, here's my scar. Look underneath my belly. I love you. And I don't care. I just wanted him out. Now, do you want the natural pregnancy? Did you think about a doula? Did you think about
water? Oh, no.
Water?
I ain't got time for that. Okay. First of all, I'm not spending the money. I don't have the money to spend on a doula. No offense. I know they've done fantastic things for people. I'm not knocking it. People said it was really helpful for them, but no, I'm good. I got my sister. My sister had two very traumatic birth experiences that I was there for, so I told her she kind of owes me. I'm like, you better be in there holding my legs up like I did for you. She had a C-section. She said that was easier. Not that it's easy, but an easier situation. And my first nephew, oh my God, trauma. I think I need to go get like therapy. I've never really like done an extended therapy thing. I think I need to do it because he was face up, hands by his face, and he was stuck at 9.5 centimeters, and they did this suction procedure, you know, where they take the suction on the baby's head. And in the room, there was like 15 people in there, and they're like, oh, the doctor says, by law, we can only do 3 pulls on the head, and then we have to automatically push the baby back in and go for a C-section. Now, at this point, her blood pressure is like 198 over 121. She could have a stroke at any minute. I'm watching the baby's heart rate. And we'd been in the hospital for 2 straight days. I hadn't slept. I was just like going through labor with her, you know? And he didn't get the baby out on the 3rd, and he made everybody stop. And he goes, I think I can get him out on the 4th. Looking back now, I wish I'd been... had jumped in and said, you're not supposed to do that, but everything happened so quickly that they went in for the 4th, and when he was coming out, he got stuck, and the nurse reached in, grabbed the baby by the elbows, and completely ripped him out of my sister's body. And when I know this is very graphic, but I saw stuff that I never thought I'd see. And, you know, you grew up seeing in the movies where the woman's screaming, and then there's the baby. Oh, no, this is like a murder scene. And I'm what the hell just happened? And it took close to 50 stitches to put her back together. I mean, she was a mess. Sorry, this is probably TMI for your listeners. They're like, whoa. So she had a traumatic experience. But this is the reality of
childbirth. Makes me scared for the second.
It's the reality of childbirth. Things can happen. And so after seeing that, I'm at this point where I just want to have a smooth birth. And I said to my husband, you advocate for me, you listen, you pay attention, and you slap the shit out of me if I'm out of it and they're making me sign something. Because, you you got to really have somebody there to speak up for you. You know, had I known looking back, I would have said, whoa, you're not supposed to do that. Granted, the baby's, my nephew's fine. My sister suffered a little bit of, you know, she has continence still 5 years later and a lot of issues. But I wish I had known. So now that I'm more aware of it, I'm going to be on it when I'm in the hospital. You know, it's a very rare situation.
Right.
I know you got a lot more than you bargained for on that question, huh?
Yes. But that's why you're here, because not everybody has the 1-2-3 pregnancy. You know, you had Peyton and Callie, and they came right out.
Right.
Mine waited 4 days.
But they don't teach you a lot of things, because I thought, okay, you had a baby, and whoop, there you go, you're done. When I was there, they told me, okay, now you got to get up and go pee. I said, huh? They told me I have to get up and go to use the bathroom to make sure all my stuff was working.
What?
Literally.
No,
after they put Peyton on my
chest,
LIJ. You were C-section.
He didn't come out of your vagina.
So he came. So Peyton came out. They put him on my chest. They wiped him down. Then they said, okay, we're going to put him in the little incubator thing or whatever it was.
Right.
So they put him in that. And then I said, okay, come on, we're going to go to the bathroom. I said, why? They said, because you have to go. So we make sure everything's working and stuff. And I was like, you're literally going to make me go pee right now. They're like, yeah, you got to go pee. So they wait with you in the room. You're in there. And then they say, here's a water bottle if it burns. But I had no stitches. So.
What? Okay.
Yeah. So
this is why we need different perspectives.
Right.
Didn't know that. I just was in pain for, I don't know, maybe 3 days, because I had to walk around. I had to walk up and down the hospital. They were like, okay, because you have stitches there. Make sure you walk around. Make sure you don't have pain by the 3rd day. If you do, then, you know.
And they also don't tell you I guess it's your period, but not really your period.
Yeah.
You're kind of the afterbirth or whatever the hell it's called.
No, they told me that.
That you get for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, they told me that.
And then you can't use a tampon if you're a tampon user for at least the menstrual cycle or 2 after that.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of ladies, how long after the baby comes can you really have sex? Because I've been told it's 6 weeks, maybe 12. And then I talked to a girlfriend who said they couldn't for 8 months.
8 months?
I don't know, about 8 months. I don't think it's that long. It is 6 weeks, although I was so busy and focused on Braxton that those weeks did pass by. And even though he was like, I want to, I was like, let's focus on the kid. And then I didn't get back into it until maybe 3 months. I was just
you,
like,
the horn dog.
I know, you're right. I am the horn dog. However, I was so, everything, I was just so drained.
Wow, that's.
And I wanted to focus on how do I take care of this kid,
because
I've never
had
a kid before.
Right after the doctor did my.
Damn.
I guess when you go back.
No, I was too scared.
When you go back and get your checkup kind of thing after to make sure everything's fine. And she's like, oh, wow, it looks like you never even had a kid. I was like, is that my green light to go? So I went and I bought condoms because I didn't get on birth control yet. And I was like, here we go. Let's do this.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
No, I had my regular checkups after the baby. I put in my IUD.
Mm-hmm.
And for 5 years, so I can't get pregnant until I'm 38.
No, she's going to take that out. She's going to have another baby.
No.
Yes, you are.
And yeah, so I think it really does depend on you, Annie.
And also your birth, the part of
and
it.
And also your birth.
Because
if
you had
through
stitches,
that first.
Yeah.
And then you will, right, because we're like fast forwarding and making her go to this.
Yeah.
Get through your birth first. Prepare everything. Do you have your bag ready?
No.
Do you have, wow.
I'm like, I'm not ready. I know. My doctor just asked me yesterday, she's like, you have your bag packed? I'm like, no, I mean, I have an idea of what I'm going to throw in there, but.
That's the first thing everybody got on me on all the time. Is your bag packed? Do you?
I know.
Do you have something?
Well,
do you have a favorite blanket?
What did you put in your bag? What did you put in there?
Oh, I had it like a month before. Yeah. I was crazy with it. I was like, just in case. And I always had it somewhere near me. I had extra underwears, nighties, a blanket, because I didn't like the. Like the hospital stuff. So I had my sheets, my this. Just to make me feel at home. And I had pictures. I had little snacks that I ate. Only because you know, there's stuff that I ate. And when I was pregnant, I could only eat soup. I didn't want anything else. I didn't want the regular food. Halal food made me, if I smelled that, I would vomit. Onions that I usually eat, I couldn't eat. There's a lot of things. So anything that made me feel comfortable, that made Barbara feel like, all right, it's right. My last three, the last three trimester, whatever it's called, was very bad. Very. I threw up every single day.
Oh, no.
Braxton was not playing. Every day I threw up. From when April started to beginning of June, it was like, I lost so much weight. So I don't know if you had the morning sickness.
No, only in the first trimester. Now,
And I don't know how it triggers with every woman, if it starts in the beginning, stops, if it comes at the end, but it was very bad. So the closest I could be to the hospital at all times, I always was. So I was always in Long Island. Always. So get that bag ready. Please have a lot of people on speed dial that are reliable. I don't know if you live in the city. If you live in the city.
It's very complicated. My husband's upstate New York, Poughkeepsie. I don't know if you've ever heard of the city
of
Poughkeepsie.
Course,
and I was sharing with a roommate the past 4 years in the city. So I'm literally back and forth. So he will be all the way 2 hours north. He's a teacher. And so he'll be.
Oh, okay.
So I have people at work. I have a girlfriend that lives in the city that I'll reach out to. Anybody that can kind of just go there with me if he's at work. And then he'll get there when he gets there. So our plan is not very well thought out. I just think it's a matter of where we are work-wise,
right?
We're so separated.
Will he get the whole? Do fathers get the? I don't know, some kind of leave or something from work.
He gets the baby is due on their spring break for the kids, which is good if it's on time,
right?
And then he gets 5 days.
Wow,
it doesn't seem like a lot, but it's something. And the good thing is he's off for summer because he's a teacher, and the only thing he does is basketball camps, and they're kind of varied, so he'll have some time off, which is nice, because then I'm like, hey, when I go back to work, it's on you, bud, because you know, because that's my biggest thing is when you leave that hospital and you have a human being to care for, how do you guys balance it all? That's what I'm most concerned about, because I want to give my child their due and their attention and their love, and to leave in the middle of the night. I don't know. I'm so nervous about that transition.
Right. There's a lot to think of. That's why I say just have the baby first. When that happens, everything else you've got to just like plan out. If you're a person that plans out things, then you'll just see how it goes. Like, do you have your family support system? Do people at work understand what's going on? Do you have your family nearby? Is his family nearby? So it's a lot of that stuff. And then there's you to take care of too. If you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of anybody else. So a subject we'll be talking about in the near future is postpartum depression. I went through that.
I did.
And I didn't know what it was. You know what I mean?
Like, you had an empty feeling?
No. I didn't know how to identify it. I was feeling selfish, and I was feeling like I should be at work and not here. I should be contributing to the house and not here. I'm not contributing if I'm just with him. And I didn't know I am contributing. This is my child I have to take care of, but I felt like nothing.
See, I didn't have that for Peyton. Yeah. With Callie, I had it only because I felt selfish that I was taking my time away from Peyton. So that right. made me upset, and that made me cry because right. I came home and he looked at me like, who's that? And I said, that's your sister. And he's like, no. And he was on top of me 24/7. He wouldn't go to my mother. He wouldn't go to my father. He didn't want to go to his dad. Right. Like, he was on me like a koala bear. Right. And I felt bad because I had to give now attention to Callie, and I couldn't give her all that attention because he wanted all of me. But to your question of when you go home with the child and it's now you, the baby, and your husband, and you're all looking at each other like, okay, there's no hospital. No one's going to help
you. Yeah, no nurse coming in and out.
To me, what I did with Peyton, which I don't think I should have, I held him all the time. Yeah. I cuddled him all the time. So he was, it was my first baby, and it was a boy. And I was like, this is my baby. I want him with me all the time. Literally, he was in my arms 24/7. So now he's 100% mama's boy, and he's right. always with me. And it's hard to transition that. So you kind of got to draw the line somewhere like, okay, he's going to cry. Let him cry. It's good right. for their lungs. But I always jumped up like, oh my gosh, are you okay?
And right. And to her opposite, I never yeah. did that. I never cuddled with Braxton. I fed him when he was supposed to be fed, but I didn't pick him up. I didn't, whatever. I
now, would just did be you like, write when you were supposed to feed him? I was yes, so psychotic.
I
had a notebook, a specific notebook, and my husband would take it and hide it on me, and I would freak out because I felt like I'm supposed to feed him, I think, every right. 2 hours. And I specifically wrote every 2 hours on this sheet of paper, and he would just think it was funny like to hide it, and I would freak out because right. I specifically wrote every time he ate it, if he spit up, if he didn't spit up. It was insane.
I didn't do all of that, but you know, that's the difference between me and her. She structured him. Not I just didn't do it because I was like, you're right, I didn't want the mama's
boy. But you breastfed.
I did for only 2 to 3 months, and then after that quickly switched over because it hurt. And
I wish I could have breastfed.
I started to get back into radio again and saying, now my schedule's about to be crazy. I can't sit here and say, I can breastfeed you every day when I can't. So let's be realistic. So back to your support system where you have everybody willing to help you on social media. You have work. You have your mother, your sister-in-laws, your that. Use that. Use that because you cannot do it all yourself. You're going to crash and burn. And postpartum is so real. So real. So if you're not paying attention to it, like I didn't, you're going to fall into this empty little space where I was just alone. Even though I had Randy, I had my mom, had my dad, had his sisters, I had everybody. I was just looking at them like, but you can't help me.
I didn't want any help.
And I would just cry by myself.
I didn't want any help. I wanted to do everything on my own. Everything. I didn't want any help.
You
got to
watch
anyone.
That. You got
to
watch.
But I'm still like that to this day. Right. I don't want help. I'll do it myself.
So where's Annie? And where is your middle ground
exactly
to that?
Exactly where I think I'm going to be. Yeah. And my husband's already said, don't think you're rushing right out. I know you're going to want to rush out of the house right away because I'm not a sit still kind of person. I definitely have, right. I have to have ADHD. I can't sit still. I think it's most radio people, our brains yep. are always wired to.
I got to be out.
Be out. And I told him, I said, look, the first couple weeks I'll be in, but I'm going to have to get out a lot, take the baby for walks. And I think I am concerned about that. And, you know, luckily my mom's a social worker and she's a therapist. So maybe she'll be able to tell the signs if something's up. And I think for me, that is going to be a hard transition. I'm going to try the breastfeeding. I don't know if it's going to work. And I'm just going to hope for the best. And like I said, I just don't want to lose my identity either, which sounds like such a selfish thing. I want to
same thing
embrace this
That's
new
exactly
child.
That's exactly how I was.
I told my husband, all I care about this baby is that it's an empathetic human being and a good person. And I want us to teach them that. But I also don't want to lose everything I've built for myself in 35 years, which I'm afraid to say to people because all they ever say is, well, you should be thankful it happened. You should be lucky that it happened. Because, you know, like I said, being older, my doctor was like, hey, if it doesn't happen, we'll think about fertility treatment. So a lot of people, it's always, well, you should just be grateful. Oh, of course I am. It's the next phase of my life, and I'm super pumped for it. But that doesn't mean my life's going to stop. So I do want to make sure I watch out for that. I mean, is there any suggestions you have for, should I have girlfriends come over and visit? Should I try to leave the house more? Like, how do you combat it?
Right. We talked about friends in one of our episodes and how I lost friends when I became a mom because they're single and, you know, they don't have any kids. So they looked at me like, oh, your life just stopped. You're not going to pay attention to me. So it was selfish on their end. So I was saying those friends that I lost, good riddance, because it was like, if you're going to do that and leave because I had a kid, you weren't my friend in the first place. So if you lose friends, that's all right.
Your friend, yeah, you're going to lose them.
You're
going to
obviously gain friends because if you have any other friends that are mothers, y'all are just going to get closer. They're going to help you. They're going to be your support system. If something happens, like my son had an ear infection, guess who I called out to? Tiffany. She has that same experience. And we got close off of being pregnant together. So it's just going to happen. But I can't focus on me losing you as a friend and having a human being to now take care of and have that responsibility for. So I don't give a fuck at the end of the day if you're gone. I just don't. I'm that type of person. If you're not there, you're not there. If you are there, you are there. Cool. But I'm not vying at the age of 35 right now for new friends. I'm on some Drake shit. No new friends. I got to go. I got to care about this right here because this gives me money to take care of Braxton. End of the day. So I can't lose this. I'm where Annie's at. I can't. And I got to fight for it too.
You
got to fight.
Lose your identity by any means because at the end of the day, women work. So
we do.
We work.
But it's hard to get and keep a job these days in New York City in a number one market when you're on air.
Right.
Not just working at a radio station and any other position and promotions and whatever. We're on air. That's a total different animal. There are contracts. There are, you know, things that we have to pay attention to. We got to hit marks. We got to go to meetings and hear about demographics and this and what we're not doing and what we should be doing. And that's added stress. And the number one thing that your doctor continues to tell you, and I know she tells you or he tells you, don't add on any stress. If there's any stress you could take away, take that away. So we're already working in a stressful environment.
So stressful. And it's hard to explain to people because they always say, oh, radio must be so fun. You talk for 4 hours a morning. No, it's not. It's 24/7. And I've been doing this for 12 years now. And I have never once used one single sick day nor personal day in 12 years. I'm super proud of that. Just because I'm like one of those people, like I'll still, which is obnoxious to other people if I'm not feeling well and I still come into work. But I just feel like I worked my ass off to get this position. And I have built a relationship with listeners that depend on that laugh every morning, depend on that stability of, oh, I'm going to hear that person every day when I get in the car. We're not going to let you down. We're not going to miss days and not be around. And that's the thing about radio. And I say to my girlfriends, I have friends that get 6 months maternity leave, 4 months.
Wow.
And they said, why don't you just take the whole, you know, 12 weeks? I said, you don't understand. When you're out of work, yeah, your office notices. But when I'm out of work, it's the listeners that notice. And I lose touch with my intimacy as far as our relationship, the give and take that we get from each other. And that's the part that scares me. And a lot of people are like, the number one thing I heard when I got pregnant was, are you going to quit your job?
What?
I heard it so many times. Oh, you're finally going to give up this radio thing. I used to get it all the time. And I'd say, are you crazy? I didn't work my ass off three jobs for 10 years because you make shit money. You know, making $16,000 a year, my first station, $24,000 my second station. You
sound
like
twins.
Your ass off. To all of a sudden go, oh, yeah, I'm done now because I'm a mom. I mean, I don't know what it's like to be a mom yet. Maybe this is going to be a life-changing experience where I'm not going to want to leave my kid. But I just know I've worked too hard to get here. And it's a scary, scary thing. But I hope that that will ease a little bit when I have the baby. And I'll maybe be more, hey, it's going to work out or it's not. But again, like you said, it's a very high-stress situation. And
it is.
You know, and as a woman in this industry, too, we are more content than the males in our industry. The males in our industry, for some reason, are given the control, the authority, the ability to open breaks and be the guy, but not really have to, really not for all, but don't really have to open up much about their personal life, where the females of the stations are usually the ones talking about their kids, talking about their spouses, talking about their fucking periods, or talking about whatever they can do to relate to their audience. So then you think, oh my God, once I have a kid, am I going to content? Is it going to be... I can't be that girl that's out going out to host a nightclub thing or do this or that. Now who am I relating to? So then you start to look at your own identity as well as to what audience that you're relating to. I know this probably sounds very crazy to people if they're, you know, checking it out, but this is just the way the industry is.
It's crazy because becoming a mom and doing what I, how I am as a personality, I like to watch ratchet TV. I like to still go out and people still look at me and I know they judge because this world wouldn't be the world it is without judging. You still go out? I went clubbing once as a pregnant woman and my first time in at Mardi Gras was 6 months pregnant. So people looked at me crazy and I was like, so you're looking at me crazy because you are assuming, because that's how I say that word, that I went to go and drink, that I went to go and grind my ass. Actually, I just wanted to be somewhere where people were having fun and just smiling. So you should have asked me that before because I had my family members kind of throw some judgment and say, oh, she was out, like they were whispering to my hubby. She was out. He was like, I know. She
but
goes
I've
out.
Known you
she
for years and you never changed your identity from ever. After having Braxton.
I've never. So I still cuss. I still whatever. But guess what? He doesn't
person.
See that. Right. I don't go home and say, yo, Braxton, what the fuck is up? Let's fucking watch Love and fucking Hip Hop. Yo, I would never do that because I'm smart enough to know there's a time and a place. However, I'm still trying to build and I've worked throughout 7 radio stations. Like you, been in radio for 12 years. I just turned 35 3 days ago. And thank you. And I totally understand every single point. And I'm still building and haven't been, and not where I want to be. But I cannot afford to lose who I am. Because the minute I change and say, I'm going to go from talking about ratchet sex and this and that to mommy villains, let's talk about rainbows and candy and ponies. That's not me. I'm just giving you what you need me to change into.
But a lot of people in today's society think that a woman after having a child is supposed to stay home and raise their child.
Well, that's 1950s.
That's great for people that want to do that. But at the end of the day, like I told my husband and my mother, I said, just because I'm having a child does not mean that I'm going to stop my career. I still need to keep going. I need to show my kids that you can do it. I have my daughter that's looking at me, or I mean, she's 6 months, but at the end of the day, she'll look up to me and say, my mommy did it. I'm not going to stop my life and say, oh, I had kids. All right, let me stay home. They'll get better education. They'll feel better. No, I'm not doing that. I want to go to work. I want to do what I have to do. And I'm going to show my kids that this is what you do. Your life doesn't stop. I'm not stopping. I'm not going to stop loving them. I will always love them. But
right.
I want to make money too. I don't feel that my husband, I have to rely on his paycheck.
Right, right, right.
I think that we should come together as a team. We worked on something as a team and we're going to do it together.
Speaking of husbands, you have a very handsome one.
Oh, thanks.
And I know you, everybody's relationship dynamic is different. Mine catered to me anytime I wanted to. He felt the pregnancy pains when I did. He was sick when I was.
Wow.
Yeah, Randy. Randy literally was like, oh, I'm sick, you're sick. I'm this, I'm that. I'm everything.
Mine
so
is not like
do
that.
You have that? Do you have issues with that? Or has he been perfect all along the process?
Yeah.
He might be an exception. He might.
He's starting to actually, now that we're in the, like, getting 5 weeks away, he started the whole, like, oh, my stomach. Oh, he's going to act weird. I'm like, dude, are you serious? You're fine. I'm like, that's what you get.
Right.
But no, he's just not. He's a Pisces. He's very quiet, closed off, but still very deeply emotional. I'm not used to that because I always date like Leos and like guys that were talkative.
Strong, right.
And I don't know how the hell I marry. You know, I end up marrying somebody who's super quiet. But I like that about him. It keeps me kind of calm.
Yep.
So I'm not sure. I think it might hit him after, but I just keep saying to him, it's happening. You know that, right? Because he's not like your hubby at all. He hasn't. I have to physically take his hand to feel things because he's like,
really?
Well, it's not that he's not excited about it. He more just like, oh my God, that's so weird. Or, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. I think he's more.
It'll hit him when it happens.
When it happens. I think he's just going to be that guy. He does, you know, one time I bitched that he didn't get me ice cream and he got me ice cream. But again, he's working two jobs. He's full-time teacher and he's coaching college basketball, which is very demanding. Practice every night, games away on the weekends. So I haven't seen it. I feel like we see each other once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks. So it's been hard to kind of be separated. But once the baby comes, it's on. So I think he'll get there. The intimacy has been a little hard because I haven't been able to get to the big O. And my doctor can't seem to figure out why. They thought at first it was because my placenta hadn't moved.
Right.
Which is they were looking for placenta previa. And I guess if it's over the cervix, it can cause that issue.
Yep.
It's not that we're not trying, because we're trying. I just can't orgasm. And she said, try and do it for yourself. I tried for myself, still wouldn't happen. And she said it just may be one of those things, your body, your hormones.
Right.
There's a lot of weight on your uterus right now. It should come back after. That's why I was asking, how long do I have to wait? Because I'm starting to get really like pent up frustration. Because it's super frustrating. Like, I'm glad he's okay and he can do his thing. But I feel like I'm just like a, you know, just waiting for it to happen.
Well, so that's a first I've heard of that, because I had an extremely active sex life during my pregnancy. Like, it was crazy. Like, I thought I was going to have another baby after Braxton, because we just kept going like bunnies. And he didn't care how big my stomach was. Sideways, up, front, upside down. Let's do it, bitch. See, we got the time.
With Peyton, we had a lot of sex. With Callie, I did not want to have sex. I wanted to
be left
alone.
It's just different.
It's just your body changes, but afterwards it all goes back to the same thing. You're fine.
It better come back. I'm trying. Like, there's every night I'm like, want to try, and he's like, I don't understand. We're trying, because it's never been an issue to get to the climax with him. That was part of the reason I married him. I was like, this, our sex life is really great,
right?
But there's something in my anatomy that's happening, and it's freaking me out. I'm sure it'll come back.
Right.
It just may be, I just maybe one of those fluke things. She said when you breastfeed, you can't either, really.
Wow.
So you have trouble.
No, I didn't have. I don't. Maybe I'm just a super horny individual.
No, you're just super lucky. You got great. I can't even think of the word.
Well, things sacrifice itself, because although I had a great sex life, my last 3 months was hell on earth, and you know, I couldn't look at food without throwing it up. So again, every one of us is different.
Different.
I always used to say that to Tiff, because she used to compare our pregnancies a lot. I was like, you have to stop doing that, because we're two different women. Meaning, like, you're tall and skinny, I'm short and very thick and wide. So the way I carried and the way you carried, I was all stomach, and so were you. But then I had the glow up, and then you had acne at times, and then we had... I'm saying, there was times I came into work, and I was like, what's going on with Tiffany's face? But that was only, you know, but you know what I'm saying. I have to point out the differences. So you cannot go around seeing other pregnant women and being like, why does she have that, and why is she losing her hair?
But that's like with our kids.
Right.
We've done that, because Braxton started walking at 10 months, and I was like...
At 9 months, he started walking.
I was like,
walking.
Yo, Peyton, when are you going to start walking?
But Peyton talks like a mile a minute, and Braxton's still on some la, 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 la.
So
it's on your own time, on their own time, your development, your body, your way. It's the same thing with the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
When you're getting married, it's not marry, do, whatever their names are. It's not their wedding. It's your wedding. So you can't have anybody dictate what you're going to do. So get through this. Get through this.
You're going to be fine. I can't wait to hear the story of when you give birth.
I cannot. Absolutely.
Welcome back after, so I can talk to you guys about how that
Yes. Of course. Bring the fucking baby.
Yes,
actually, no,
baby.
Don't. Because there's too many germs in here.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have Purell. Okay. Because I get very, again, when you go through it, I'm very picky about where Braxton is. He still hasn't been in daycare ever.
Oh, I hear so many bad stories.
He's going
about kids
on 2 years. He's never been with anybody but family. She's watched him once. That's it. I just refuse. Again, it's Annie's world. You're going to have a great time. You looked beautiful at your baby shower.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
You beautiful at your maternity shoot.
Oh, this I can't. Is,
again, we haven't talked about that, but you guys could go on her social media, Annie On Air, on Instagram and on Twitter.
Same thing on Twitter and on Facebook. And hopefully I did take some nude pictures.
You did?
I did. And I covered my breasts and obviously, you know, my vagina, but she made me feel very powerful. She had me pose the right way, and I did like
I did too. I don't have enough courage for that.
You know what?
I do. I just never did it.
It was very empowering. I've never felt more beautiful in my life being pregnant. I don't know what it is. There's something about it. You just feel beautiful. And
would you share that on social media?
I'm not sure. I'm gonna see how they come out. They might be a little bit too much for social media.
You don't want anybody flagging you.
That's what I know. That's what I was afraid of. But
there people will be assholes and flag you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I have seen some women have been sharing them on Instagram. They haven't got flagged, so I'll see how. But I'll definitely show you, ladies.
Right.
And I'm super pumped. If anybody out there, if you're pregnant, do the maternity nude shoot. It's such a beautiful feeling. And
I never did it because I was in Florida, remember? And I left the dress at home. I was in Florida. And it was the perfect picture I had with Peyton. And it would have looked perfect because no one was in front of Magic Kingdom.
Aww.
And I left the dress at home.
man.
Well, we'll do it. You'll do it all over again.
I think I wanted to.
You'll do it all over again. You're calling the third already.
I do want another one. I do.
Oh, man.
That's what gives me hope. If someone could have the second and then still want the third, then you know what? It's going to be okay. It's all going to work out.
You will be fine. After you push the baby out, you don't even remember any of that pain.
Well, let's put our motherly blessings on Annie. You're going to have a great one. Congratulations again, Annie.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in. Of course, we will have you back once you have the child. And we are counting down with you. Again, follow her on Annie on Air. If you don't know how to spell Annie, you're fucking retarded. It's A-N-N-I-E on Air. Check her out on 95.5 PLJ Todd and Jade in the Morning. This has been Tired as a Mother Uncensored with your host, Roxy.
And Tiffany Marie.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, guys.
And guess what?
And we'll let you know what her baby is, what she's having.
That.
We'll let you know.
Please, we always end with, go get some rest.